from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. I forgot to adjust my camera before we started. Good morning, James. Happy Wednesday.
Hello, Kyle.
You've got the long sleeves under the short sleeve look going, which was a staple for me in high school.
I'm transitioning from sweatshirts to like spring weather.
Sure, like a long sleeve, sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I also I'm so pasty, I wear sleeves a lot of the year.
Oh.
Yeah, because I'll get skin cancer down the road.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Well, right. That took a dark turn that it didn't need to take. Let's talk about literally anything else. Wild-ass NBA playoff games. Last night, we thought the Bucks and Sixers were done, and the Bucks and Sixers said otherwise.
Yeah, they...
Tyrese Maxey specifically said otherwise.
Yeah, they like showed us a middle finger, Kyle. I felt like it was intentionally pointed at us.
It was incredible.
Like Bobby Portis is like, no, I'm not coming to Sacramento. I'm not going to help out. I'm not going to team with Domantas Sabonis. I am going to like keep rolling here with the Bucks.
One dude, the thing about the Bucks blowing out the Pacers last night and getting a monster game from Patrick Beverley.
Yeah, that was weird.
It's super super strange. Doc Rivers is now saying that Dame Lillard and Giannis are both very 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 close to coming back, and that makes things a lot more interesting out there.
I think it does because...
I'm still out on the Bucks.
Yeah, you can be out on the Bucks, but I don't want to be in on the Pacers yet.
No, I'm not in on the Pacers.
Because that's what I think it's as
like they're
much...
they're fun.
Yeah, they're fun, but they're not there yet. And so that's why the Bucks have any chance in this. And
I think the series would be... I think the series would be over by now if Giannis and Dame were both playing.
Well, maybe.
I probably would have ended in five.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, I mean, there is one team that looks ready and another team that just doesn't. Like, they're not consistent enough, and they have to figure a lot of things out. And that's okay. They're young. But I also think, like, the win last night by the Bucks, it just put the Pacers on notice. Like, hey, you're not good enough.
Yeah, there's levels.
Yeah, yeah. Like, even if you beat us in this round, you're not good enough next round.
No.
Like, no.
No. And that's... And I don't think there was any thought from anybody logical anyway who's not a Pacers fan that thought that the Pacers would have any chance in the next round.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I think it the fact that they didn't quickly dispatch Milwaukee without Dame and Giannis if anybody had any doubts about that, like that's the signal. They lost by what, 23 points last night?
Yeah.
To a Bucks team that is not particularly deep and didn't have its two best players.
It's not great.
That's a tough look. That's a really, really bad look.
It is.
But again, like you said, the Pacers weren't supposed to be in this spot, really, anyways.
Yeah, they're skipping ahead. I mean, I get they're, you know, an almost like forced skip ahead. And this is kind of what, you know, the Kings dealt with last year. Like, there are levels to who you are. And I would say even last year's Kings team is better than this year's Pacers team. This year's Pacers team is just offense and nothing else. And you could say that about the Kings team last year, but they got to the playoffs and all of a sudden they played great defense.
Yeah.
You know, they were really good defensively in the postseason last year. And now you look at the Pacers and that's just not who they are yet. They're such a long ways away from being that.
Yeah, they're year what? 2 of whatever this build is for them.
Yeah.
So no, if they get out of the first round, that'll be a big deal for them. But I'm also not going like, oh hey, they're gonna be a finals contender next year now. I need to see more from them for sure. But man, credit to the Bucks and the Sixers. Because that's a spot where, man, we talked about it yesterday. If the Sixers had punted last night and Joel Embiid said, look, dudes, I've given you all I've got. We're not winning a second round series. I'm mailing it in tonight. I would not have faulted them at all. If the Knicks went out and rolled last night, I don't think anybody would have taken away, well, the Sixers gave up. Oh, this, like, no, man, they're just in a really, really tough spot against a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And man, seven points down with 25 seconds to go. Get the 4-point play from Maxey. Well, it was 6 points because you got the 4-point play from Maxey. Josh Hart splits his free throws. Maxey cashes the deep three, 7 points in 18 seconds. That was remarkable stuff.
He was so good. He hit 46 points. He played 52 minutes, Kyle. 17 of 30 from the field, 7 of 12 from 3. And he had 9 assists. Man, I thought he was incredible. Embiid had 9 turnovers, and actually on the broadcast they said, "Well, that's his 10th turnover." He still finished with a triple-double, but watching a young player like come into his own and just sit there and like have no worries and just rock it. And at the same time, you know what I kept wondering? Like, Cameron Payne didn't play well. Like, no. I was watching. I didn't think he played well at all. I didn't think that Nick Batum earned 33 minutes of play. I thought Kyle Lowry was absolutely atrocious. And Buddy Hield still can't get on the court.
DNPCD for
brutal.
Buddy.
Brutal for Buddy.
But, man, Tyrese Maxey. Joel Embiid, even. 19 and 16, 10 assists. You mentioned the 9 turnovers. He had 4 blocks. He was really good defensively. I was really impressed by them. Kelly Oubre had a good game.
Oh, Oubre. Oubre is a guy that the Kings should look at.
I'm out.
You're out on Kelly Oubre?
The list of players I'm out on. Kelly Oubre trying to figure... Do you know what would happen if Kelly Oubre played for the Kings?
Uh-oh.
Like, this is the thing, is I don't dislike Kelly Oubre as a player.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kelly Oubre would have some trouble figuring it out and how to be impactful on the Kings specifically. We know, okay, he's gonna play some good defense, gonna grab some rebounds, a good athlete, this and that. But when he's consistently standing in the corner next to Keegan Murray because he went to the wrong spot, at some point that would be a problem. But no, really good player. I just don't know how well he would fit with the Kings. That's all.
Yeah. I don't know that I hate it, though. Like, they need the long, athletic, fast. He can get in the open court. I'll also bring up, he played AAU ball with De'Aaron Fox. If we're doing Fox and Friends.
Yeah, why not? Oh, boy. Nope, don't do that.
No.
Nope.
Okay. if we're going to do that, though, if we're going to let, like, De'Aaron Fox have some... De'Aaron has been very clear, like, yeah, I would love to play with Kelly. Like, he's like, I understand who he is, and some of the zaniness wasn't there when he was young, but at the same time, we need that type of player, and he said that for the last couple of years. But then you also have guys like Mike Brown, like Jay Triano, that spent time with Kelly Oubre, and they might not feel the same way. And so I would defer to the coaches when it comes to whether or not he would fit in or not. And if the Kings ever made that move, it would be because, you know, Mike Brown spent enough time with him and Jay Triano also spent enough time and gave a thumbs up to it.
Do you know what he's shooting from 3 this year?
I'm going to guess 32.8.
31.1.
Okay.
32.6 over the last 4 years.
Mm.
Also has some trouble staying healthy. I don't know. I'm just... He was on a really bad version of the Warriors, and that's when I watched him a lot.
Yeah.
And I used to be really high on Kelly Oubre. The year the Kings got Harrison Barnes, it was like Harrison Barnes, Kelly Oubre, Otto Porter, let's talk about it.
Like that certainly was the big, Otto, yeah.
Yeah, that was the big discussion point. And I loved the Kelly Oubre idea then. I've watched more of him. Eh. I wouldn't hate it. I don't hate it. I just think it could be a little problematic.
Okay.
That's all.
I mean, I'm not bringing him in as my starter, but as like an energy.
Oh, then yeah, sure.
Run and gun. Sure. Like three?
Fine.
Why not? Fine. Super athlete?
I like that more.
Okay.
The Cavs beat the Magic last night in the series that I'm not sure anybody knows is going on.
I swear.
That was a really close game last night.
I'm like, blink, blink. Okay, this is boring. And so I think I might have flipped it over to the A's game for a few innings just to see what was happening. And then I went to one of the better games of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just pops up in the corner like, the Cavs won by two.
Cleveland wins the first quarter by 10.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, okay, they're in Cleveland. Cleveland's going to roll. Oh, but then the Magic battle back a 24-15 second quarter. Yuck. 39 points combined in the quarter. Then you go to the third quarter, you get Cleveland wins it by four. Orlando wins the fourth quarter by four, and you finish with a one-point game. Paolo Banchero, 16 points in the fourth quarter, though.
Yeah, he's good.
I love Paolo, dude.
Yeah.
And
then every time like Kings fans watch Jonathan Isaac, he does something well. And so they're like, oh, we got to get him. And then I sit here and say, no, you don't have to go get Jonathan Isaac. I feel like this is like a perpetual thing that we're stuck in where you see like Jonathan Isaac, a really small sample, and then he looks really good in that small sample. Mm-hmm. And then he never looks good anytime you're not watching. Like as soon as you turn off the TV, he fumbles like three balls out of bounds.
Yeah, he's a good, not great player.
Yeah,
he's fine.
Well, just injuries.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten to play enough. Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, I think this happens a lot with players just in general when it comes to sign this guy or draft this guy or trade for this guy. It's like the idea of that player is much greater than the reality of that player. And the idea of Jonathan Isaac, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Shot blocker. He can shoot it. He is a good enough defender that he can probably defend, like, credibly defend two through five.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of that is great. That's why he went so early in the draft. Do you know why he would be potentially available? because he has not been that.
Because he can't stay on the court right. At all.
If Jonathan Isaac was that player... Was that perfect fit next to Domantas Sabonis where you could reliably play him 75 games and he's going to give you 35 minutes a night? The Magic would be starting him and probably be a lot better, by the way.
Yeah.
But no, he comes off the bench because he can't stay healthy. He's still pretty inconsistent.
They tried to start him late in the season and then had to go back to Wendell Carter Jr.
Yeah. I like Wendell Carter too.
I don't love him. A lot of people like him.
Yeah, he's fine. No, he's fine.
I think we should just stick, like, would you take Joe Ingles on your team?
Ooh.
Jingles.
No, not this version of Joe Ingles. I like Joe Ingles.
I don't know, man. You run Joe Ingles out there last night, 10 minutes, ran a plus 12.
Or you could play Sasha. I don't know. It feels kind of redundant to me. That's all. As I feel like they fill the same role.
Two guys who would trip over a phone book. Let's go.
I hope Emmy was listening. Yeah. She taps in for the Sasha content, and we got some in there. All right, we'll continue talking about the NBA playoffs. I heard something on our sister station 95.7 yesterday that really, really grinded my gears.
You want to punch somebody?
It's stuck in my craw, as it were.
Yes.
I want to talk about that, and then we're gonna talk a little baseball today too.
Oh,
the
no.
Future Sacramento A is playing well. The Giants not playing as well. And yet they have the same record. we'll dive into all of that. On the Insiders, we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
This is Trap Queen. Or the instrumental, anyway.
All right.
Yeah, John Poles had the idea to play it as a rejoin. So I was like, that's a great idea, John. There it is.
Ooh, I like it.
It's a good... I really enjoyed the Fetty Wap self-titled album. I liked very, very much.
All of these are words I don't know.
Oh, my God.
It's all right.
All right. I thought maybe Trap Queen infiltrated the... public conscience in a way that I thought maybe you would have heard it.
I mean, if I heard it, maybe I would know it, but yeah. I wouldn't know it by name.
Sure.
Like if this song came on the radio, like three notes in, I wouldn't know, you know, I wouldn't be able to say Trap Queen. Just.
No, I got like, I don't know. It just got, it got a lot of like top 40 play and I don't know. I gave it a shot. I know where your interests lie, especially musically. And I knew it was a long shot, but sometimes, you know, you got to pull up from 30 and see.
All right.
It didn't go in that time. That's fine.
That's okay.
That's fine.
That's all right.
I was listening to 95.7 yesterday. Actually, I saw this clip on Twitter. And then I went and found the interview. And I listened to it.
This sounds like investigatorial journalism.
No, that would be nuts. No, I'm not investigating anything. I just, you know how this goes. Sometimes there will be a quote that's put on the internet that because it's a producer like listening and trying to kind of transcribe it live while they're doing other stuff, you just kind of get the meat of what you want out there and you take sometimes things are out of context.
Of course.
And this and that. When I got in trouble for that all the time with my own hosts. Where they'd be like, this isn't what I meant. And I'm like, yeah, that's what you said. So, like, let me get it out there. Anyways, that's neither here nor there.
We had the dot, dot, dot from 95.7.
Yeah, yeah. And I did that all the time, whether it was with my hosts or a guest, because sometimes, like I said, you're trying to get engagement.
Yep.
And so you put the quote out at when the person says it, because you're like, wow, Alex Smith is better than Joe Montana. And so you put that out. And then as the person talks through it and they're like, at this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like,
at golf.
Well, yeah, right. Yeah. So, right. Exactly. So sometimes weird stuff like that happens. So I just wanted to make sure that yesterday that wasn't what happened.
Okay.
Jermaine Wiggins, former Patriots tight end, now a radio host at WEEI in Boston, an Odyssey station, says, quote, if I'm San Francisco, I'd be picking up the phone again and saying, hey, Tom Brady, what do we got to do to get you here? Because how long is the window going to stay open for the 49ers?
I mean...
I thought it was done. I thought we were done with the Tom Brady 49ers stuff when he, A, bought an like ownership stake in the Raiders.
Yeah.
B... Retired for an entire year. C, turns 47 in August. D, when the 49ers have $12 in cap space and an entire rookie class to sign.
E, when Giselle left him.
Sure.
Like, I thought it was over
was
then.
Was that where we were on? E, F, here's the thing. Here's and I wrote about this in NinersWire.com. So if you happen to read it, sorry for being repetitive. But... I understand this idea of wanting to upgrade over Brock Purdy because some people watch him and they go, that's not a franchise quarterback. And if that's, he's carried by the rest of the offense, and when the rest of the offense is gone, he's not going to be good enough. And if that's the opinion, fine. Like there can be a discussion had about that. But here's a truth and a fact that needs to be taken into account with all of this. Kyle Shanahan loves Brock Purdy. Loves him. Whatever you think of him, Kyle Shanahan, if you think Brock Purdy is not good, Kyle Shanahan very much thinks the opposite. The 49ers are very much ready to pay Brock Purdy a ton of money to be their franchise quarterback. Whether you think he's that or not. They're not going to go... By the way, Purdy is a extension eligible after this year. they're not going to bench him in his second full season as a starter. They're not going to bench him and risk pissing him off, where now all of a sudden, hey, he's not going to sign an extension. He's going to hit free agency. And now they risk losing him for 1 year of 47-year-old Tom Brady. How long is this Super Bowl window open? The 49ers think it's wide open now because of Brock Purdy. And they think it's going to be wide open in the future because of Brock Purdy. Whether it is or isn't, I don't know. But that's what they think. So going, yeah, I'd call Tom Brady. Like, bro, come on.
You got to give a 24-year-old guy who just posted 4,280 yards, 31 passing touchdowns, only 11 interceptions, led the league in TD percentage, led the league in rating, led the league in QBR. He was fourth in the league in MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I think you probably need to see it through.
He was also not the reason they lost the Super Bowl.
No, of course he wasn't.
He wasn't perfect. But I walked out of 2019 going, I don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo can win a Super Bowl.
Mm.
I didn't walk out of this year doing that.
No.
Now, maybe Purdy regresses terribly this year and the conversation is much different next offseason. But right now, I thought that Tom Brady being retired for a whole year and not coming back and then turning 47 this summer would quell the Tom Brady 49er stuff.
It's wild, man. It's like, it's not even like hanging fruit. It's like that tree doesn't exist. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Stop trying to gaslight me into thinking Tom Brady's going to play for the 49ers.
No, I mean, come on. Let's just, everyone should just be able to move forward. A guy had a great career, like probably the greatest quarterback of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even say probably. He is. Yeah.
He's a guy.
Yeah. I mean, now it's possible that Patrick Mahomes chases him down
and gets there.
But for now... Yeah, I mean, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. He's supplanted, in my mind, he's supplanted like Joe Montana.
Yeah,
and, you know, there's a couple other guys out there that you can put in this category. Mm-hmm. But, like, he's just, it's the winning, it's the sheer volume of yards and touchdowns and everything else. I mean, he's just amazing.
It says a lot about where Tom Brady is that Patrick Mahomes has had the success that he has had to start his career. He's, what, 28? And... looks like he's going to be in 8 of the next 10 Super Bowls.
Mm.
And we're still like, he's got a long way to go.
He does.
The hill is still pretty steep for Patrick Mahomes to catch Tom Brady. Not saying he will or won't, but it's a testament to Tom Brady that what he accomplished in his career was so... set such a high standard that even what Patrick Mahomes has done so far is like, I need to see more.
That's it. It's really wild. And then when we talk about this, like, you know, Tom Brady was in a group of great quarterbacks, right? It's almost like the center position in the 90s for the NBA. There was like every team had a future Hall of Famer,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the NFL goes through this entire cycle where, you know, there are so many great quarterbacks from that era, whether it's Peyton Manning, whether it's Drew Brees, whether, you know, even like you can go all the way down low to like Philip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger, mm-hmm. who statistically are all top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so many great quarterbacks from mm-hmm. that era. Like, again, Aaron Rodgers. But statistically, they're all nuts. Tom Brady is like, he was able to defeat all of them, not only in the Super Bowl wins, but also he ends up with more yards, more touchdowns,
right.
everything else, right?
Right. And played at such a high level for so long.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his second to last season, he should have won the MVP and it, like, had his best season ever statistically.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
But then the reason I bring this up is it always makes me think of Jerry Rice.
Mm-hmm.
And just how much better Jerry Rice was and still is than any other receiver ever. Like,
it's outrageous,
like,
dude.
It's like 8,000 yards more than anyone ever.
It is outrageous.
It's probably the craziest statistical thing that we've ever seen in sports, where one player at one position is so much better than anyone historically, and no one can catch him.
The only thing I think that would be, you know, but yeah, Larry Fitzgerald, second all time in receiving yards.
Mm-hmm.
At 17,492, he's almost 2,000 yards clear of number three. He is 5,000 yards behind Jerry Rice.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. The only comparable thing, and the only thing I think would be different is the Wayne Gretzky, all time points, where you could take away all his goals and he'd still be the all time leader in points.
Well, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, I think what LeBron will do to the record books when it's all said and done, because if he plays another 3 years, just how far he will be above Kareem, no one will ever catch him.
Yeah.
In points, I don't think anyone will ever catch him.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't draw a path to that, like a realistic one.
Yeah, you have to have like a 19-year-old who comes in and starts putting up 30 points a game from his rookie year and doesn't stop for 20 years. Yeah. And even still, he's probably going to come up short.
I'm fascinated to see, as we hit the breaker, I'm fascinated to see if LeBron goes out on a 25-7-7 year, or if he plays like 4 or 5 more years where he does get to the 15-6-6 type of guy, where he's still an effective player, but man, just not quite what he was. I don't know. Really interesting.
His agent said he wants to play 2 to 3 years, and he hasn't said anything.
Yeah. All he said is that he's not going to say anything. Okay. We need to break. Let's talk. speaking of players who are going to continue playing, I want to talk about Kevin Durant.
Mm.
I have a couple of questions about him just that I've been thinking about. We'll get to that next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle, he's James. You're you, and always be you.
All right, Stuart Smalley.
Life's short, be yourself.
Good enough, smart enough, people like me.
Thank you, everybody listening on ESPN 1320. Thank you, everybody listening on the free Odyssey app. Download the free Odyssey app today. Search ESPN 1320. like our station, and don't miss a second. That's also where one of the places where our podcast resides.
Oh.
On the Free Odyssey app. The James Hamm and Kyle Madsen show.
James Hamm and Kyle Madsen show.
Which is just this show named a different thing.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you why. I had a talk with like the guy who runs podcasting for Odyssey.
Oh, yeah?
And was like, bro.
Danny.
That's our guy. Danny in San Francisco. I said, bro, how do I get our podcast up? Because we had been uploading, if you're not familiar, yeah. D'Lo and KC also. So the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen show, the D'Lo and KC podcast, all available wherever you get your podcasts, mm-hmm. including the Free Odyssey app. So for the first several months of this program, I was uploading the podcast to the D'Lo and KC feed. And I'd ask Charlie and I'd go, hey, what's up with the podcast? He's like, we've talked to who we need to talk to. We got the paperwork filed and we're moving forward. Great. A couple weeks go by. Hey, where are we at on this? Hey, you know, we sent the paperwork in. We sent it again. We're not sure. It turns out that there's, stuff that goes over my head. But legal stuff with the podcasting.
They get you with the legal every time.
So they called it the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show. And that's what it is. So we would appreciate it if you downloaded the podcast.
Yeah,
we upload it by the hours. We upload each hour. We upload the full show. We upload clips. So if you missed anything, that's where you can go find it. And of course, shout out to everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch. YouTube.com/ESPN1320. Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Get in there. Check out the show. Check out the Chatty House. It's a great place to vibe and watch the program. While we're housekeeping. NBA playoffs tonight. Mavericks at Clippers. 6:30 p.m. Coverage begins right here on ESPN 1320. Can we talk about Kevin Durant?
Yeah, we can talk about whatever you would like, Kyle.
Wow. Okay, great. Fetty Wap. No, I'm joking.
I'm in.
Figure not. It's okay.
I'll just act like I am.
Okay. Just live listen to Fetty Wap's first album.
Yeah.
And get James' reactions. No. So I think Kevin Durant is maybe the most fascinating player when we talk about, like we were just talking about LeBron. And whether you think LeBron is the best player of all time or the second best or top five or whatever, there's not really an argument that he is one of the greatest players to ever suit up.
Yeah.
There's not a logical argument anyway. If you're just a hater who's like, he's not top 10, he's lost the finals six times, you know, but whatever. I don't have anything for you there. But for the most part, the consensus among logically thinking people is that LeBron is one of the two or three greatest players to ever suit up. I don't think Kevin Durant falls in that bucket of, yeah, hey, he's just on track that when he retires, he's going to be a consensus top X guy.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people on podcasts call him a top 10 player ever. I've seen other people who were like, he's not even in the top 25. And I think it's so, so interesting, just his career arc and how things went from, hey, he was in Oklahoma City and they get to the finals and then James Harden leaves and they run into the Warriors in 2016 and we're up 3-1 and then they lose that series and then he goes to Golden State and he wins a couple of titles and then he gets hurt and then he goes to Brooklyn to team up with Kyrie. That doesn't really work out. So he goes to Phoenix and that hasn't really worked out. He's undeniably an incredible player. But then you look at kind of his career resume and okay, he's got the two finals MVPs. But outside of that, I think he's won one playoff series since he left Golden State. Maybe two?
I think
they won two.
So look, I think he's a top 20 player of all time. I don't know that I'm willing to put him in the top, like, I'm not willing to put him in the top 10.
Right.
I mean, there have been players who have just won a lot more than him.
Right.
That you have to respect and put in that. And even his numbers, like 27.3 points per game, like, that's amazing. And, you know, he's won four scoring titles. He's got an MVP.
Right,
come in second like three times.
There's no deny. That's what's so interesting about it.
Yeah.
Is nobody will deny that he is one of the best scorers to ever lace up his shoes.
Yeah.
and he is so unique, and he's 7 foot, and he can shoot it, and he can handle it, and he can do all this stuff, and he loves the sport. He clearly loves basketball as much as anybody. But when it comes to the GOAT, like not GOAT, but the all-time conversation, there's a resume that goes into that. Okay, all-star appearances, all-NBA, but at some point, like, playoff success starts to matter.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about this with Jamal Murray yesterday. Like, man, Jamal Murray is really highly regarded because of what he does in the playoffs. And now you have Kevin Durant, who's bounced around to a bunch of different teams. He might bounce around to a new team this offseason if he tries to force his way out of Phoenix. I don't know, man.
It's tough because you are left with, you know, I mean, like, statistically speaking, I think you could compare him and James Harden. Like, James Harden's career, I don't want to put them in the same ballpark, especially because one has a title and one doesn't, or multiple titles, right? But James Harden, again, bounced around all over the league. James Harden has, you know, put up a triple-double season. I think career-wise, we're talking about a 10-time All-Star, a 3-time scoring champ, 7-time All-NBA player. But also, statistically speaking, a player that you know, averages 24 points a game, and like, all of his numbers are huge. I mean, he's the assist numbers are incredible. Like, I don't know. Like, I think that there's a group of players from this generation that are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And whether they're winners or not, I don't know if you can really put them in that bucket, like, mm-hmm. if they're guys that you just, like, consider, like, straight-up winners.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that this era is sullied by the super team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sort of, like, the way that guys almost cheapened what they mm-hmm. were. And mm-hmm. so, like, I'm never going to take away anything from Steph Curry because I don't think his run had mm-hmm. anything to do with being a super team. It had everything to do with a group of players coming up together and becoming great together and then mm-hmm. supplementing that with one great player to help them win a couple extra titles.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, there's still, to me, like, there, you can't put him in this, but it's really the LeBron and then the attempted super teams that I think the failed super teams have done so much damage. If you look at how many times, you know, the Knicks go out and sign three guys, what was Amari and Carmelo and mm-hmm. There's all of these attempts at it.
Yeah.
And it just works so few times. Like, they still, for the most part, they got beat by good teams that were constructed the right way, that mm-hmm. were built through the draft, that, like, became great because of, you know, the combination of players. And even, you know, I think Durant had an opportunity to be that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he did. He had an opportunity to be that in OKC.
Yep.
But I also, you know, like, I've told you that, and I've told this story before, like, I had a conversation with him during that, what was it, 2016?
2016, yeah.
Yeah, where they took a big lead on the Warriors, and then the Warriors just kept coming at them. And then they end up losing, was it game 6 in Oakland? And I had asked a question to him and Russell Westbrook in the post-game press conference that didn't go over well because they just kept, like, it was just the two of them. It's like, what are you doing? Like, 59 shots between the two of them, mm-hmm. 3 consecutive games. And this is an era, like, which seems so far ago, but where the teams are taking, like, between 70 and 80 shots per game.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every shot is coming from those guys. And, again, Russell Westbrook stared me down the whole way out of the building. Like, he did not like the question at all. And then I had a conversation with Durant afterwards. And said, look, man, I'm not trying to throw you under the bus there. That's not what that was meant. Mm-hmm. He goes, look, he's like, I fully understand it. He's like, but that's the pressure that's on us here. Like, mm-hmm. every second since the day I landed in Seattle, the whole entire time I've been on this team, they want me to shoot the ball every single time I touch it. Mm-hmm. And it is a lot of pressure. It literally means that everything that it's all on me and mm-hmm. it's all on Russ. And so, yeah, maybe we did forget about guys for sure, but that's kind of what we're being told.
Right.
And that's how we've been. It's like just beat into our head that is exactly who we have to be. And so I got a new respect for him. I also at that moment, I knew very well he was not going back. Because yeah. he didn't want that anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of pressure to just being somebody who everything rides on.
Yeah.
And you can see it with the Kings. Everything rides on Fox and Sabonis. Mm-hmm. Fox breaks the tip of his finger, and their season ends.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see it. But
literally by a fingertip.
Their season ended when he broke his fingertip and he couldn't be the same player.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of pressure to put on somebody. And so I get it. So I don't blame him for bouncing around a little bit. Not everybody gets to be, you know, Dirk Nowitzki, who stays with one team, or Kobe Bryant, who gets mm-hmm. to stay with one team, or John Stockton. You know, we can go back. This used to be something that happened. It's just not anymore.
Yeah.
And guys get older and they want to go win. So,
well, and that's where the Kevin Durant discussion turns off of what normally the road it normally goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Because you say as guys get older, they want to win. Okay, so Kevin Durant assessed his situation in Oklahoma City and said, this is not a situation that's conducive to winning. Because remember, in that series, not only were they up 3-1 on Golden State, they were that nuclear game from the game 6 from Klay Thompson, from closing that series out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had forgotten about this. Game 3, they win by 28. Game 4, they win by 24. Like, they dominated those games.
Yeah.
They were the foil to that version of the Warriors. That they were that team that when the Warriors went small, they could stay bigger and function in ways that other teams couldn't. And he looked at that and went, this isn't conducive to winning. This isn't conducive to what? I'm going to go to Golden State because that's where I can win and it's democratic and they play the right type of basketball and this and that. But then he leaves. And at that point, it was like, for what? Now what are you searching for? And I think that's where I think there were people who turned against him when he went from Oklahoma City to the 73-win Warriors. And then I think you had other people who just kind of threw their hands up, A, because of his social media, the fact that he's a normal human on social media.
Yeah, that's always a mistake.
God forbid. But B, then he goes and teams up with Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn. And then for some reason, they go get James Harden for whatever reason.
But you also have to remember, Kyrie goes on a boycott, basically. Like,
yeah, in the 2020 season. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, he just like,
just quit.
I'm not going to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now,
I'm not going to get vaccinated. I'm not going to play.
Right.
And just held his team hostage mm-hmm. and wasted a year of Kevin Durant's career.
Yes. So Kevin Durant says, okay, this is what I'm looking for. I want out. I want to go to Phoenix. So goes to Phoenix. Okay, you're going, okay, that's not a bad situation. You know, Devin Booker. But then they go get Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
It's like, for what? I don't know what he wants. I don't know what he's looking for. Because I know that people always talk about, okay, Draymond is the reason he left Golden State. Like, no, man, that blow up happened because he was going to leave.
Mm.
Draymond got pissed because he knew Kevin Durant was out the door. Like, that's what happened there. Go read Ethan Strauss's book on it. He wrote a whole book that Kevin Durant hates him for.
Mm.
So go tap into that. It explains the whole thing. But he basically didn't, one of the key things was he didn't like the fact that like Mo Spates got as much love as he did. He's like, Mo, like, I'm Kevin Durant. What? Why are people cheering this guy?
Yeah.
Like, I'm, and so he bounced. And like, that's what I think is just so interesting with him. There's all these reasons he's so great on the court. And I don't think there's any denying that. But then you start to dig into the resume some and you're like, well, it doesn't really, with other kind of great players from this era, it doesn't quite stack up. And then you get into all the, man, he's been on, what, 4 teams now? He might go to a 5th team this offseason?
Yeah, but...
But then the fact he bounced back from a torn Achilles and is as good as he is?
I think we're really hard on him, but then we ignore the fact that LeBron James couldn't win a championship in Cleveland, and so he took his talent to South Beach and goes and wins a couple of titles with a super team.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes back to Cleveland mm-hmm. and wins a title and has this great run of like, what, 4 straight years of Cleveland,
yeah.
of Cavs versus Warriors. But then he goes to the Lakers and chases fame and fortune again. And so...
So odd.
So basically we're talking about a player who's played in 4 different cities, although one of them is twice,
mm-hmm.
And joined super teams every step of the way. And... Like, has he found success in the bubble, but outside of that has not found success at all in LA,
yeah.
has not been able to put them over the top. And so I think we are really, really hard on one guy. And
that's
it's probably
point.
Because because the one guy doesn't practice what he says in the mirror before he goes out and says it. And that's just
a great point.
I mean, it's straight up.
It's a great
like,
point.
There's certain about being polished and really not giving anything real of yourself. And mm-hmm. unfortunately for Kevin Durant, he's not that guy. Mm-hmm. And multiple times he's given too much of himself and made it known too much about what he feels. But like, I don't know.
That's why I like him.
Yeah.
Like, wow, a normal human. Incredible.
That's what, like...
When you say mean things about him, he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, same.
I just thought that there,
like me.
There's a genuine person there.
Yeah,
there's
definitely.
A very genuine person. And it's not locked down by, like, some sort of caricature that he's created for himself. You know, like, there isn't, like, this moment where he does this, mm-hmm. and I'm going to go out there and be someone different. And I think... we can, like, you can enjoy that about a guy like Draymond as well, but the problem is that Draymond isn't putting on any kind of face. That's just, he's so far out there and has...
He's himself, but he's a jerk.
Well, he's a jerk, but he also is so ego-driven that it just comes across as, like, bro, you're saying a bunch of stuff that you really don't get that, like, mm-hmm. I don't want to say, like, you rode coattails.
Sure.
But... like, you got to play with the two greatest shooters of all time.
Right.
The greatest shooters of all time.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not even close.
Yeah.
And you think that it's all you and you're acting like you're the godfather and get to talk to everybody in a certain way.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you're the guy who's cost that team so many times. They should have another title if it wasn't for you.
So speaking of should have had another title, that's the other fascinating aspect of, you brought up James Harden.
Yeah.
If Kevin Durant stays in Oklahoma City and doesn't go to Golden State, I don't think the Warriors go away. Maybe they get another title. Maybe they don't. But James Harden probably gets at least one.
Mm.
They kept running into the Warriors and couldn't get over that hump.
Well, they pulled the trigger too quick on the James Harden situation there.
What do you mean?
Like, I mean, they traded him before because they were worried about having to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they would have just, like, kept them together and let Harden hit his prime,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that they would have been, you could have stopped them. Like, especially just the way that Russ plays.
Yeah.
Like, you have three players that are so incredibly unique in what they do. And I know there's only one ball, and that would have been really difficult for those guys to sit there and...
Harden, and, Paul, and Westbrook? Or no, they traded Paul for Westbrook.
Yeah, Harden, Westbrook, and Durant. Like...
Oh, in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Oh. I thought you were talking about the Rockets.
No.
Gotcha.
No, okay. I meant.
Yes. Okay, got it.
Yeah, OKC pulled the plug on the James Harden experiment too early.
Yeah.
But now we look at what they became, and it probably wouldn't have happened that way. They would not have, it would have been more Durant, less of Harden,
mm-hmm.
Westbrook. These guys are like undeniably great players in this mm-hmm. generation. But at the same time, could they have coexisted? And I don't think they could have. And Harden would have never been able to become who he is today.
I meant the Rockets.
Yeah.
Harden would have gotten, I think, at least one
with
the Rockets had Kevin Durant not gone to Golden State. And the other that's the other aspect of this, you bring up LeBron. If LeBron goes back to Cleveland and Kevin Durant does not go to Golden State, LeBron gets more than one in that stretch, I imagine.
Probably.
Those Cavs teams were really damn good.
They were. I mean, they were flawed teams, but they were...
They were really freaking good.
Yeah. No. I know. I covered all of those playoff series. I mean, wild.
I just can't believe, and we talked about this a little bit with Damian yesterday, I just can't believe that in this era, there are still owners chasing the super team, quote unquote. Supplementing your roster, like you said, if you're the Mavericks and you think, hey, Kyrie is the missing piece, okay, that's one thing. But being Matt Ishbia and going, hey, you know what we need? Kevin Durant and Brad Beal.
Mm.
No, man, that's not the NBA anymore.
No.
That's not gonna play.
Yeah.
If you happen to have three stars that you bring up and they just kind of turn into superstars, a la Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and that's just how that goes, then awesome. But I think accumulating stars and going, hey, go be really good for a year. I don't think that's going to work anymore.
No, I'm pretty sure you're right. But I do think that there are opportunities out there for redemption for Kevin Durant. And I think he could go to a team that hasn't won one, who hasn't been there, and go and help them push it over the top. Like, but I mean, you're looking at me like I'm about to say the Sacramento Kings.
I'm going to pick a random team. Well, let's just name a team.
I mean, like, what would it mean if Durant were to go to a franchise that hasn't won a title since 1950 and step in and take a team that's good and make them great and take them to a title? I mean, I think that would be intriguing to watch. But I would also say with Minnesota, if he was to end up in Minnesota, if he was to end up in OKC, like these are opportunities where, like, what kind of redemption story would that be for him to go back to OKC at the tail end and be part of a group of players that, you know, and could they come up with a pack? Sure, they could come up with it.
Could probably come up with the best trade package.
Yeah. Because you're talking about all the draft picks. You're talking about,
young players.
Yeah, like a maybe you give up Giddey, maybe give Jalen Williams, and like, and then you go from there. But every situation is different, and how well they mesh together and what it would mean. Like, I don't know. But I do think there is still time for redemption for him. I just don't know that, like, getting traded again matters, like that it's going to help the situation.
I also wonder if it would be different if he asks out versus the Suns just move him.
Yeah.
Like, if it becomes a whole nother offseason of, oh, Kevin Durant wants out, but he only wants to go to this team or this team and this and that. If that becomes the discussion again, yeah. I think that gets tough. Versus the Suns just going, yeah, we're not paying all these guys. We're going to move him. Man.
It's complicated, man. It's complicated. His legacy is complicated.
Kenny said the streets are saying that Kevin Durant wants to come to the Kings.
Who said that?
Kenny said that the streets are saying that.
Well,
I saw it on Twitter.
He does love De'Aaron Fox. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
He loves De'Aaron Fox.
I think everybody does.
Yeah, I think so. Well,
I've not heard a single person who's come out and been like, eh.
Yeah, I mean, I think he loves him as a basketball player and would love to play with him and all that stuff. But like, I would never put that out there into space. Like, this is a possibility. I just don't think that it really should be or it is. Yeah.
I'm going to keep riding it.
All right.
Pause.
All right.
Yeah. All right. We need to break. I think Kevin Durant's fascinating, man. Sorry if that's boring to everybody. Hey, let's talk a little baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've talked any baseball on this show this year, at least not on-field baseball. Let's do that. The future Sacramento A's playing some good ball. The San Francisco Giants somehow have the same record and not playing as well. We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.